Okay, we now begin the seventh parak of Maseches Shkalim, and this is a great parak talking about all sorts of interesting principles of deciding uncertainties. And here in our first Mishnah, Mishnah Aleph, we are going to talk about what happens if you find a coin on the floor that's fallen amongst the shofaros there in the Beis Hamikdash. So we're not sure which of the 13 containers this coin belongs. So there are a number of ways in which we can resolve uncertainties, according to Halacha. One of them is the principle of proximity, closeness, called karov. And that's learned out from the parsha in the Torah about Egla Arufa, that if a dead person is found between two cities, so we measure and we see which is the closest city to the corpse, and then there's a procedure done with the depending on which city is closest to. So that teaches us that if you have an uncertain situation regarding how to ascribe the status of something, you can use proximity, karov, closeness, to determine the answer. There are other competing principles, but for now we're going to focus just on the proximity factor. I'll come back to another consideration of rov in a moment. So here the Mishnah says, Ma'os shenimtzu v'ena shkalim l'nadava. If you find a coin on the floor and it's sitting between the shofar, the container that is earmarked for shkalim, meaning the tatan charetin, this year is machzor shekel, and the dava, that 13th one that is earmarked for keteh mizbeach. So which container do you put that coin into? Now, the Yishalmi asks if one is at the beginning and one at the end, and they're in a line, so how could a coin be between number 1 and number 13? To which it answers that the shofaros are arranged in a circle. So that's why number 1, the first one, and the last one, number 13, are close to each other. So the general answer is going to be that we will put the coin into the whatever container it's closest to because of the principle of karov. And if it's the suffix persists, it's still uncertain because it's right in the middle, equidistant from the two containers. So then we will go lachumra, as the general rule with all Sfeikus Mdoraisa, Torah doubts, you have to go to the stricter possibility. So therefore we'll have to decide which is a more strict treatment of this coin in terms of which container it goes into, and put it there. In the case of Nadava versus Machzor Shekel, so then Nadava is more strict because money that goes into the Nadava gets used to purchase olos, which are totally burned. In contrast, you'll recall that when it comes to the Machzor Shekel, there's chatas, which is purchased sometimes, like on Rosh Chodesh, which is eaten by Kohanim, and also leftovers of that container would end up going to purchase, you know, refortify the walls and arrange for water in the city and so on, so much less intense uses than being brought as an offering. And therefore, on the possibility that the coin was originally consecrated to be given as money for an ola, so one would not be allowed to use that money now to purchase lesser things like refurbishments for the city and its towers, etc. So that's the gist of it. So the Mishnah says inside, Ma'os shenimtzu b'ena shkalim l'nadava. If you find a coin on the floor between the shkalim container, that's the machzor shekel container, and the nadava container, karov l'shkalim, if it's closer to the shkalim container, yiplu l'shkalim, so then it should go inside the shkalim container. L'nadava, if it's physically closer to the nadava container, yiplu l'nadava, it should go to the nadava container. Mechta l'mechta, if it's equidistant, right in the middle between the two, then yiplu l'nadava, then you put it in the nadava container, because as I explained, an ola is a more strict use and would not be allowed to use for the lesser sanctity uses that are possible with a machzor shekel. Now, what happens if bein eitzim l'lavona? You find a coin on the floor between the container, the shofar earmarked for wood, and the one earmarked for lavona, frankincense. So karv l'eitzim, yiplu l'eitzim. If it's close to the eitzim container, again, put in the eitzim one. L'lavona, yiplu l'lavona. If it's close to the lavona one, put it in the lavona one. Mechta l'mechta, if it's in the middle, equidistant from the two containers, you'd have to again go to the more strict one, the more chamer one. And that's yiplu l'lavona. It should go to the lavona, to the frankincense container. Why is frankincense considered more chamer, more strict than the wood when both are totally burned in the mizbeach? The answer is because the lavona, frankincense, is actually considered to be an offering all to itself, whereas the wood is just something which enables the lavona to be burned. So it's less intense sanctity, and therefore, if you have to choose between the two, you'll put the money into the lavona just in case. Bein kinin legozli ola. Remember, we had these two containers. There was a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda, what they went for. This Mishnah is clearly going like the Chachamim, where the Kinin, the pair of birds container, is to buy one Ola and one Chatas bird for people who need the Mechusar Kapara, like people who are the, like, you know, the Zav and Zav, etc. And the Gozle Ola were to buy birds which are Olos, totally burned, no Chatas. Now the Kohanim are going to eat the Chatas bird, and that being the case, the more strict application would be to put it all for Olos, where the Kohanim eat nothing. And therefore, the Mishnah says, Karav Lakinim, Lipu Lakinim, if it's close to the Kinim container, put in the Kinim one. The Gozle Ola, close to the Ola offering birds one, then Yiplu Lagozle Ola, put it to that one. Mechtala Mechta, if it's equidistant from the two containers, Yiplu Lagozle Ola, put it into the Ola bird container, because then it'll all be burned, and that's the more strict interpretation. Now, the Mishnah is going to segue away from our case of coins on the floor by these 13 shofaros, and it's going to make a more general point, which is the same principles set forth in this Mishnah apply in other contexts. And therefore, the Mishnah will give a story, a scenario where you have nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, in a person's private home. This guy has two piggy banks, and one is his personal savings account, and the other one is his Meiser Sheni savings account. Meiser Sheni, you'll recall, those are the second tithe that's levied on a person's harvests in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the 7-year Shemitah cycle. And then he separates those foodstuffs, and if he doesn't want to bring the foods to Yerushalayim, he can redeem the foods Kedusha onto coins, bring the coins to Jerusalem, and then over there in Yerushalayim, he'll use the money, the Meiser Sheni money, to purchase foodstuffs to be consumed in Tahara over there in Yerushalayim. So that's a stricture of the two. Of course, the coins that are Meiser Sheni coins are more strict. So what happens if he has the two piggy banks, and he finds a coin on the floor between the two piggy banks? So the same principles will apply here. That's the point of the Mishnah. It says, if you have Ben Chulin L'Meiser Sheni, a coin is found on the floor between the chulin, the personal piggy bank, and the Meiser Sheni piggy bank, then karav lechulin yipul lechulin, if it's close to the chulin one, put in the chulin piggy bank, the Meiser Sheni yipul the Meiser Sheni, if it's close to the Meiser Sheni container, put into that one. Mecht lemechta, equidistant from the two piggy banks, yipul the Meiser Sheni, of course you have to put it in the Meiser Sheni container, on the possibility that it was Meiser Sheni, to again be more strict. Zehaklal, this is the governing principle. Holchin achra karav lehakel, we will go after whatever's more proximate, the closer of the two, even if it means a more lenient interpretation, meaning there's a possibility, of course, that this was, for example, had been Meiser Sheni money, which is now going into your personal piggy bank. Okay, but if it's close to the personal piggy bank, it's uncertain and will go lakula, if you can use karov, proximity. But if it's mechtza lemechtza, if it's equidistant, then nothing doing, you have to be strict, luch lahachmir, you have to be strict and make more strict interpretation and put it into the more strict container, just to be, so to speak, on the safe side. That's the rules of resolving sfeikus in the Torah. Now, there is a side discussion to be had here, which is that another factor to consider when resolving uncertainty in the Torah is not the principle of karov, proximity, but rather rov, majority. And in fact, the Gemara in Bava Basra says that if you have rov v'karov, if you have a reason to rule one way based on rove, majority, and a reason to rule a different way because of karov, because of proximity. So then, halach achar harov, the rove is higher in higher up on the hierarchy of determining factors, and therefore you'd go after a majority, notwithstanding that it might be more proximate. I forget the actual case here, but the question there, that would suggest that if, for example, in the containers, the shofros, one container has 100 coins and one container has 3 coins, because one's much more frequently used, so then rove would suggest if you find a coin between the two of those that you should go and assume it came from the more frequently used container, the one with 100 coins, and put in the rove. So it's a question, why don't we see that over here? And there are a couple of answers given. All the answers basically boil down to that rove, either this Tana doesn't agree with that, or that rove is not applicable in this scenario either. Let's say, for example, there were equal number of coins in both containers, or you don't know how many coins there were, etc. But it seems, according to the Bar Tanur and the accepted halacha, if there was clearly a rove, meaning that, you know, more coins are given to shofar A than shofar B in general, and you find the coin between the two, you should assume it goes to the one that's rove, this mission notwithstanding.